The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
People are hoping for TJ Hammonds to actually get the ball this year.
We've had more questions about, as far as running backs, about that individual running back sent to our Twitter and, you know, DMs and just general ways you contact the show about TJ Hammonds more than any other running back, right?
Yeah.
Is that right? I mean, that's why is that?
I truly believe because they saw he had game-breaking ability
last
season.
And they felt
season.
He was underutilized or that he was mismanaged by the coaching staff last year.
Yeah. Where no one could understand where this guy was making plays against really good teams, too. Right. And then when Bielma would say it in the press conference about, oh, yeah, you know, he did a good job. Okay, got to get him the ball more. And the next day, he had three carries.
There's clearly more going on behind this, particularly if you come out and he's healthy this year. Same story. He's getting 3 to 6 carries, something like that. And he's effective in those, but not getting more carries. What else is going on here? You know,
yeah, it's got to be something. But I expect him to play. I expect all the running backs to be really good. I mean, because Chase Hayden's a guy I think that's probably been talked about the least amount of other running backs, and that guy showed some flashes last year too. So I mean, they got some good setup and some good pieces there at running back. At least again, they just have the offensive line to help them out. That's going to be the key as well. But yeah, we're going to have the What's Your Beef. Also, Tyler Wilson, former Razorback quarterback, is going to be joining us later in the show as well. I'd like to get his opinions on, because we haven't got to talk to Tyler about Cole Kelly being named starter and all that. So we'll be able to get into that.
Yeah. Did you want to get the tailgates here, or you just want to keep? What do you want to do here?
No, I wanted to do the tailgating.
Tailgate, okay. Yeah. All right.
Well, with the call, though, I wanted
right,
to.
Right, right. I'll save what I was going to say for later.
Yeah, so. No, I wanted to get the tailgating thing. And this is.
I got a question, and we can think about what kind of game do you need on Saturday for player development? So let's talk about that a little bit later on, because I'm looking at it from the angle, and I'll be quicker. Do you want a big first half lead so you can get a lot of these other guys in, or how does this game need to play out so that you see more TJ Hammonds and you see more Ty Story and whoever else at quarterback? Do you see more? Talk about what kind of game this needs to be as far as the way the game would play out and unfold.
Yeah, we can get definitely get into that.
What's best for the program on Saturday?
Definitely get into that, because I think that'll be able to spark some discussions. But yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about the tailgating thing. And the main reasons I wanted to bring this up.
I don't know what I like more, the game or the tailgating.
Exactly. That's how people are going to come in, and they're going to be more interested in doing the tailgating than actually going into the game itself. And so I have a bunch of my group of friends, my crew, my squad, whatever you want to call it. We all have a tailgate every single game, essentially. And, you know, it just has developed over time. And it's amazing how tailgating itself, because, Tommy, I'm sure you remember that, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago when tailgating, it's a lot different now than it was then.
Much different.
I think technology has helped that out. But one of the things that at least has remained the same is the food and beverage.
I think one thing that's enhanced that experience is the 15 years ago, you never saw anyone really with TV at their tailgates.
And if they did, they were rich.
Well, I mean, it was just technically, I don't say impossible, but it just wasn't nearly as broad. Now you've got places you can rent a spot in someone's yard near the stadium that includes a cable hookup. You know, and I am amazed. I've got a very close friend who is actually not going to renew his tailgating spot and his season tickets, and when he totals it all up, I mean, it's not just thousands, it's, you know, in the tens of thousands of dollars you're spending a year, over 10 for tickets, donation. The tailgating spots in some of these nearby houses that are right up above the stadium are thousands of dollars a year, because let's face it, if you're going to do it right, a little 8x10 or 10x10 spot's not going to cut it for most people. And then you just start adding it up, and then the amount of money you spend on food each week. Mm-hmm. And, man, you've got quite an investment. And then you say, well, that's all for 5 or 6 home games spent on the year, and there's 2 or 3 of those. And you got to really figure out what your priorities are sometimes.
It's a planning event. Like, I mean, you got to be able to be organized.
I mean, you're financially well invested into these things. And a lot of people pool their resources because it is so you know, financially, I mean, that's what it takes to do it anymore. I'm just amazed at the amount of money that's put into a lot of this stuff that goes on.
And there's a few things, too, that with the tailgating, that when we're going to talk about the do's and don'ts of it, that you probably have experienced in being at your tailgates where certain people have done things where you're like, why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to know some certain things. You want to get in on this, Ty?
Well, I was going to just say, think about if you could go back and buy a house in Fayetteville 15 years ago. Because I have a friend who has a house at the top of Cleveland in Razorback.
Yeah.
And they make at least $500. And that's on the low end, like for what I've, at least $500 every game day.
Yeah.
$500.
Just letting people park in their yard.
Yeah.
Now think about just come down Razorback Road two blocks, three maybe, to where those, you know, hog parking and some of these larger houses with larger yards are setting up some of these corporate style tailgates. Think if you had one of those houses. Because they're raking in tens of thousands a week on those type of deals.
And it's just land. It's not like they have an overhead or anything. And they might still be paying on the land, but...
not for long.
Not for long.
I mean, that's a great setup that they have. Yeah. I mean, it's... And that's... But I'm curious, though, because I've been to other venues and whatnot, and there's not really many venues that have that same type of setup. When it comes to like having houses that close to campus and that close to the stadium where people just park in them.
It'd be interesting to see what lot 44 is like now. And I'm talking about the lot in front of the new North End Zone complex. Because that was what they called the pit, you know, and it was very tight in there. And everybody truly tailgated because you parked your vehicle and you cooked or did whatever you did more or less right out of the back of your car. Now it's all reshaped and redesigned and, you know, striped and laid out differently. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of atmosphere. That was always maybe one of the best atmospheres around campus. Then they've developed the gardens south of of the stadium. But most of the good tailgating honestly goes on either in the gardens, or my experience is in the gardens or in these off-campus, nearby campus locations. Now, Lot 44 is always a prime spot to be in. They're north of the state because that's where the team's going to enter the stadium.
That's right.
So you always kind of, everybody kind of gravitates towards that around that time. There was a day and time where we did our pre and post game shows, our pregame shows from the Tyson Agri building or whatever. Y'all tell me what that's called.
Yeah.
From that little porch, and they had a big party off in that grassy area there. That was a great, great spot to do a radio show from.
Well, what happened to that?
Policies changed. I'll just put it that way. On-campus broadcasts were no longer allowed.
Yeah.
I think unless you wrote a check, a big check.
John would wander off and start.
Oh, yeah.
We'd
get nothing out of it.
No, I'm going to go to the bathroom. See ya.
Yeah.
Get caught up with something.
And at that time, the team would come through that building, and down that sidewalk and wind through it, and then across the street. And, that was always fun to see. They'd pass within 20, 30 yards of our broadcast spots.
Yeah,
it was a great place to be.
And I don't want to turn this into the great stadium debate. But I will say, though, that Fayetteville has upped their game and their tailgating over the past 5 to 10 years because that was the one thing that I think was lacking compared to War Memorial. War Memorial had the bigger space to have tailgating.
Set up for it.
Yeah, set up when you have big open grass areas. Now, all the parking's atrocious.
Is it? You had all the parking right around the stadium, and Fayetteville, it's so cut up. I mean, you may be down at the Baum Stadium and take a shuttle. You may be, who knows where you're going to be because it's so spread out and so all over the place with the parking in Fayetteville.
Yeah, that's true. But they've had put in more parking lots. It's kind of back there behind that mosque that's over in that area. It's been more of a flatter area. So they've done some things there to try to improve it. Like they're trying to make it easier and as accessible for people.
But at War Memorial, you just got a stadium and then nothing but parking that surrounds it, you know, for...
Yeah, you just...
half a mile or whatever.
Yeah, but when I'm having to drive my truck on a cart path, and I'm having to make a hard turn to get into a parking lot down into the 18th green, and I nearly get stuck in a hole, I don't care much about the tailgating at that point. But I get the idea that it's all open space, and that's... And because that's one thing that also, when people think about college football, SEC football, you know, you think of the fans, like when they're showing those promos and whatnot for on CBS or whatever, SEC football, they show highlights, and what are they showing? Showing the fans outside tailgating. I mean, it's just as part of the game as anything.
It adds to the festivities. It adds to the atmosphere.
That's right. And I feel like when we've been talking about how attendance in general has been going down across college football, across sports in general, if you're able to have tailgating, it's cheaper for people to do that. And I think that there's a lot of people out there that just set up for tailgates and don't even worry about going into the games.
Tell you one thing that's also changed it in Fayetteville. They relaxed their stance on alcohol consumption on campus. Because 10 or 15 years ago,
when they put that rule in,
if you were, it didn't matter if you had it in a red solo cup. If you were drinking alcohol on campus, you were subject to going to jail. And now they just kind of look the other way as long as you're not being an idiot about it.
Mm-hmm. Don't ask, don't tell.
Well, just put it in a cup. Don't carry your cold Busch Light around in your hand, even in a koozie. Put it in a red cup, and everybody leaves you alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you forget, which
you get a friendly reminder.
You know, you drink six or eight, and you might get a little forgetful.
Mm-hmm. You left your koozie in the porta potty.
Instead of writing you a ticket or taking you to jail, which they don't have time to do on game day, they just ask you nicely, put the beer in the trash can.
And then that, you just put it in the trash can, and you'll live to fight another day.
Shotgun it, put it in the trash can.
Yeah, or do that too. Yeah, just find some way. So, yeah, that was the big thing too, because I remember that rule and how it just affected
everything.
When they
kind of relaxed that a little bit,
it
unchained the atmosphere a little bit in Fayetteville.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be spring break in South Padre out there, but you just got to have people that are enjoying themselves and having fun and reasons to come to the game, reasons to tailgate, reasons to cook.
Don't give them reasons not to.
Exactly. Don't spoil it for everybody. When people say, hey, if a cop comes up and says, hey, put that in the trash can because you don't have a koozie, do it.
Just do it.
Don't just start yelling.
Well, anytime a police officer asks you to do something, you should do it.
Well, yes. Specifically in this case, when it comes to your beer, I know that
driver's license, registration, and insurance, sir. Hang on, officer, hold my beer.
Yeah, exactly. Don't do that. Yeah,
don't do that.
And don't. Hey, listen, folks. I know you all out there. You drink light beer. What's that? What's the cost of that for throwing it away if you just opened it? Is it worth it? Is it really worth that fight? Just go get you another
one. It's never worth that fight.
No.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skip it. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Here's what Cole Kelly had to say about winning the starting position over the other quarterbacks heading into game one.
Yeah, I'm just going to be where my feet are and take them one day at a time, man, do what I can do. Sunday night, Coach Crowder brought me in and just basically told me that, what he told y'all on Monday. And, I mean, that's really it. He just told me what he told y'all. He gave y'all exactly what he told me.
So, Tyler, we haven't been able to catch up with you since Cole Kelly being named the starter. So what was your reaction? What do you think? What do you want to see? Just your overall thought on that.
Well, I think a lot of people are interested in winning football games. I think regardless of what your personal feelings are or what what your thoughts are on the competition of who you had some loyalty to, or, you know, a lot of people maybe had some in-state bias, wanted Ty Story to really do well and be given the opportunity to go out and excel. And I think that opportunity was given. And, you know, it was truly, I think this staff came in with zero bias and may the best man win. And we're 100% going to go with a guy that gives us the best chance to win football games on Saturdays. And I think that's all you can ask for. And I'm glad that I think both guys got that opportunity.
Yeah.
And now you've got Cole Kelly, obviously won the job. He deserves the job. Both guys, again, will play on Saturday. I don't think the evaluation process is over. I think we will see multiple guys play this year. You mentioned that, you'll have Connor Nolan, you'll have Jones play potentially on Saturday as well, depending on how the game goes. So, you know, I expect to see maybe three or four quarterbacks on the field. Ty Story, I think, is very much in the heat of things. I think this was a two quarterback battle predominantly for the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks in camp. And, you know, those are the two guys, and I think Cole Kelly gives you the best chance to win as of today.
And the thing about Cole Kelly, too, is we've actually got to see him in some game situations last season. Now, I know everything's different now. It's a different offense, different coaching staff, different everything. But just from what you saw from him last year, what are some things that you were kind of hoping that he can work on or that he needs to improve on or things that he needs to do from what he was last year to what he's going to be this year?
very different system, so it's very tough for me to evaluate what he was doing last year, especially in the Alabama game. I think they were doing some up-tempo stuff. I think Cole has a big arm. He's a gunslinger. I think he pulls the trigger, and because he has the arm talent that he has a lot of confidence in it. So he feels as though he can put the ball in a lot of different spots. I think that the deal with Cole, accuracy would be my concern. Although he has the arm strength, he has, he has the talent and the ability to throw the ball down the football field, probably as good as anybody I've seen. I think the accuracy when doing it is going to be the question mark. And I think there was at times where he anticipated really well and made some really good throws last year against Auburn and Alabama, but can he be accurate with it? And I think that's the biggest thing in this offense, because I don't think it's height, I don't think it's physicality, I think those things are minimalized in this offense. Can he get the ball in the right spot? Can he make correct decisions? Can he make solid decisions? And can he throw the ball accurately? And I think if he does that along with the other attributes that he has, I think we'll see a good performance from him on Saturday.
You mentioned the size and how just how much of an impact that it could have on this competition. I feel like when you have a 6'7" quarterback, it may be a presence. Mm-hmm. I think you mentioned it, like, especially when you're in the huddle, to just have that presence. But as far as in the offense, and how much of an impact does his size help him have an advantage, at least in this quarterback position, or does it help him at all?
Yeah. I always thought, even with Ryan, one of the things I think Ryan, when I was just comparing, what does he bring to the table and what do I bring to the table when I'm trying to compete for a starting job with a guy that's as physical, because, ultimately I did compete with a guy that had those physical attributes. I think there was something with whether it's Cole Kelly or Ryan or a Matt Jones, that big 6'6" plus frame that walks into a huddle, there's a presence that exists, and I think there's a confidence that exists when that guy enters a huddle. Now, we're not in the huddle anymore, so there is no so that whole theory, okay, well, that's kind of neutralized, but I still think the presence exists on the football field. And I think guys with those physical attributes, especially with the hand size, because typically with guys 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", the hand size is able to do things and protect the football that a smaller guy isn't able to have. But in this offense, you see guys like Baker Mayfield. You see the guy Lamar Jackson that just got drafted. Mm-hmm. You see the guy that Chad Morris, recruited there at Clemson. It's down in Houston right now. Deshaun Watson. Those guys have had a whole lot of success in these kind of systems. You don't have to be 6'5", 6'6", in the prototypical 6'3" plus. You can be a athletic. You can run the offense as a shortstop. You need a shortstop now more so than you need John Elway playing third base or a pitcher, which is kind of been the perspective way that you play quarterback and prototypical frame that you've needed in the past. So I don't think, I don't think it's as big a deal as it was, 10 or 15 years ago when all those guys, you look at the NFL quarterbacks and the Hall of Fame guys, they're all 6'3 plus Hall of Famers. But I think that will change over the next 10 or 15 years because the offenses have changed.
Let's go to the phone lines. Robert's been patiently waiting for Fort Smith. What's going on, Robert?
Hey, guys. A while ago, you guys were bringing up, a new air and everything. And that's great and dandy. But right now, if you look on StubHub, tickets are $9 and $18. And there's a nice set of Alabama tickets that are $85. Face, they're $50. So I think until, like I said, ultimately, he's got to win. It don't matter what coach, whatever, because that shows you how far the program has slipped over the years with that ticket being $9.
Yeah, but Robert, when you say $9, that's to sit in the upper deck corner. You couldn't pay me $9 to go sit up there.
I get that, but it's still, though, the face value is $50 for that ticket.
I understand. Well, upper decks are that much, but
you're going to lose $35 just to be given a ticket away.
You couldn't pay me $35 to sit up there and watch the guy stay at home.
That.
That's the deal. If your option is to sit up there, if you're going to buy a ticket or stay at home, if you're not a season ticket holder, staying at home.
I'm a season ticket holder, so I got.
But I bet it in upper deck corners. Yeah.
No, I'm on the goal line. I admit I'm 23 rows up. But my thing is you guys, you want to talk about change and everything. So until you win, that will not, money will not change, because you know as well as I do, money and wins is what drives a program.
Well, yeah, but Robert, I mean, I'm looking at stuff up too. And Florida Gators, for instance, I'm using them as an example because they have a new coach, Dan Mullen, very exciting, very great coach. They think he's going to be great. They're selling tickets for $18 for their first game against Charleston Southern. I mean,
worst seats are always going to be cheap.
Yeah, I don't think you can base it on that. Now, if you're going to Alabama and heading into that game week, and then you can get tickets for $9, okay. I think that becomes a major problem. But this isn't just an Arkansas thing. This is among a lot of different college football programs.
Florida Gators, who they're playing, Charleston Southern. I mean, people. Yeah. You can't get people up to play Charleston Southern. I mean, that's tough.
Because I don't look on the other ones how much those tickets are, so you're correct. But till they start winning, and you know, it's not going to – that it don't matter how much new you put in there. He's got to win some games.
Yeah, well, great point, Robert. I'll tell you the thing, guys, that concerns me, and Robert, I think you're on the right trail here. It's going to take winning. I know more people this year going into this season that are fed up and they have given up their season tickets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I know, I mean, I'm not talking one or two people that have just, you know, for whatever reason, found a reason. I know 10 or 12, and that's a small sample size, but I think a lot of us know guys that have given up their tickets for this year and because they know they can, if they want to go to the Alabama game, there's tickets available.
Well, I think what Robert's saying, too, is in years past, you haven't had to, the demand to win football games has not been as strong as it has. We all want to win football games. We know that there's a correlation between winning football games and putting seats, butts in the seats. We get that. And probably the face value of the seats goes up. Supply and demand. Simple. But now, I think that the demand to get people there and the demand to win is greater because you've got all these other distractions. I can sit on my couch on my TV and watch the game, and I don't have to pay it. I don't have to go through the hassle. So you didn't have that competition 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. So the demand to win is greater because now that's the only way we can fill seats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas 20 years ago, everybody was just going to the game, whether you're a Hog fan or whether we were good, bad, indifferent, we were going. You know, now you don't necessarily feel that way from every fan.
Because you had to go to see it because not every game was on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then just another example, too, when I brought up the Florida comparison with Arkansas, when Arkansas and Alabama play, it's a $51 ticket as of right now. The StubHub is the cheapest one. When Florida and LSU play each other in Gainesville, it's $40.
Yeah.
So more people. So it's just you can't base it off of that. Is what I'm saying. Well, a lot of variables that go into it.
In a game of this nature, and you're playing an FCS. At any stadium, the worst seats are always going to have a cheap price on StubHub because generally they're unsold season tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who do you think probably is putting some of these out there in the secondary market? Who holds those tickets? Who owns those tickets? So they're university tickets until they're sold at the box office. Mm-hmm. I just know that some of these upper deck corner stuff and this upper deck stuff, it's going to go cheap because it's back to what Tyler said, supply and demand.
Yep.
Not a lot of demand on the worst seats in the house to go to a game of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
You win and you start winning and you win consistently and you build the trust back. There won't be any more $9 tickets.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah. Watch the seats start getting filled up at a rapid rate. That is for sure.
And season ticket holders will come back.
Yeah, exactly.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Okay, so we've been talking about What's Your Beef Wednesday, and it is a Wednesday, and we are going to get into What's Your Beef. It's because, Tommy, you said that you had something that you wanted to talk about that still has, quote, pissed you off.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you lead off.
Well, and I think Tyler's going to like this one, too. I'm still a little upset with the fact that we're going to have to choose on Thanksgiving weekend between watching Tiger and Phil in college football. And I don't like why did they put this on this particular weekend and then make it pay-per-view? I think this is going to be a dreadful failure because of their decision, but I don't like the fact that it's going to be going on when we're trying to keep up with the final Arkansas game and college football fans around the country are watching football that weekend. No one's mind's on golf. You could have waited a couple of more weeks till the weekend after the championship, college football championship games for the conference championship games, and had the stage all to yourself. And then if you're going to make me pay pay-per-view, as long as it's not like $30 or more dollars, I'd probably do it. But I'm not going to pay $15 or $25, and they haven't announced a price that I've seen in the last couple of days on this. I just hate it for sports fans, and I'm a sports fan. I like competition, and I love golf, and I really want to see this, and they're making it hard on me to really get into this event. I hate the fact that it conflicts with college football. That's my beef.
Tyler, do you agree, and are you still mad about that?
I'm just sitting here going, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I personally, what would I do on Thanksgiving? I've got a big family. Everybody's back. Everybody's got the turkeys out, and they've got the TV trays up against the door, and that's what everybody does, right? Everybody's mm-hmm. sitting around. They get on the couches.
But this is the day after. We're eating leftovers now. We're going shopping.
But my point is this. I mean, you've got it's not even on Thanksgiving, but it's not even. I mean, what else am I? You're competing with football. You're competing with what every
Arkansas,
guy in the world
Missouri is that day,
mm-hmm. and for every football fan, it's not just Arkansas Missouri. That's when you schedule one of the biggest games of the year. How about Alabama Auburn? I don't know when that game is, but
the next day,
but I still think Tiger feels a draw. I still think you're gonna get people to tune in.
Because
but
the deal
I,
is,
I don't it, think it's as big as maybe as it could.
It
have
could
been.
Be,
you're
yeah.
Fighting, yeah.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
still going to get people to draw,
right? Because if it's $15 or $19.95 or whatever it is, if I pay that, I'm all in. I mean, if I have to pay $20 to see it, I'm not. I'm not going to be tuning over and going flipping back and forth between that and the football game. Mm-hmm. And for us here in the natural state, we're going to be watching the Razorbacks. Not golf. And I just hate that they have put it in a spot. I know this was a week or so ago, but this is the first Wednesday we've rolled around to since kind of all this was announced. And I just think it's bad for sports fans. When it could have been a couple of weeks later and been no conflict at all.
So you're more upset about the timing, not necessarily the pay-per-view aspect. Obviously, you'd rather pay for
it. I'd rather not pay, but I mean, if it's as long as it's not just
outrageous.
If they're $49.95, I'm not watching.
If it's $20,
$39.95, I'm probably not watching.
$20,
probably okay. Watching.
So that's how much your threshold is. It's $20.
You know, here, if it's a fight, if it's Mayweather Pacquiao, I mean, you've got how long does a fight last? Well, I mean, it could be a knockout in 30 seconds, or it could be a marathon. But I mean, typically, you're not going to be glued. You're going to be
best case. Glued. It's an hour or so.
That's right. You got 4 hours with Tiger and Phil.
Mm-hmm. And that's the point. I've got 4 hours, but there's college football I need to be watching too.
But you're gonna watch some of it. All they know is that you got to pay your $30 to watch 30 minutes of mm-hmm. it. And you're probably gonna figure out how to watch the last like 5 or 6 holes, right? Yeah.
Hopefully, it's still a contest by then.
Yeah. I don't know.
Hopefully, Phil doesn't. Hopefully, Phil's not down. You know,
he's not
three down with four to go. Yeah.
What are the Vegas odds? What's Tiger come out like?
I think he is like, what is it?
I'm looking it up for you guys.
I think he's -150.
Yeah, it's a huge number.
Yeah.
You going to put money down on it, Tom?
No, I ain't going to put any money down on it. It's golf. Anything could happen.
Yeah. Can that be almost a
Tiger could tear his back up between now and then. Yeah. And that is a real possibility, right? That this whole thing gets hyped up, built up, and then Tiger gets an injury. Mm-hmm. And it's postponed or delayed or put off.
Yeah, it looks like the money. It's Tiger Woods is at -170. Phil Mickelson's at +140.
Yeah,
that's a big number.
Yeah, so quite a stretch there.
And I think that's what Tiger's weighs. I think it opened like -150, +160 or something like that.
So it's going to no telling what it's going to look like once the time actually rolls around too. So I'm going to try to watch it. I'd like to watch it. But like you said, Tommy, as long as it's just not outrageously expensive.
I mean, we have to watch the Arkansas game, right? Because we got to come in here and do a radio show. I mean, it's kind of the job that we have here is to know what happens in that football game.
Especially if that's a game that's where it's going to mean bowl eligibility or not, mm-hmm. type of thing, too.
Do you guys might as well just cancel me out on that show. Just Tyler's going to be worthless.
Well, you can be our correspondent for the Tiger Phil deal.
Yeah,
I mean, you can handle that part.
Correct.
That's all on you.
Perfect.
And I may come wherever you're at and watch it with you.
Yeah.
We'll have two TVs set up or something.
Here's the deal. We're sitting here going, oh, it's going to be a tough decision which one you watch. Arkansas's down 30 points. There ain't no question which one I'm going to be turning on. No question.
Yeah. But like you said, it's a four-hour deal. You're in. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm paying $30, I'm watching every swing. Mm. I'm watching every three. Put them out. I don't want you to pick that up. No, Phil. No, that putt's no good. I paid $30. You're putting every one of them out.
Here's what's going to happen. They're going to get to the 18th hole, and they're going to have a concession, and they're going to redo it. It's going to be all over again.
Yep.
Here's a three-footer Tiger. I'll give it to you. Let's sign up for another $100 million.
I'm going to be excited about it. I'll watch it. And hopefully it'll be worth every penny that you have to pay for it. So
I just wish it didn't conflict with college football.
Yes, I get you.
And I think they could move it a couple of weeks and not conflict with college football.
You know, you can essentially make this your beef every Wednesday, Tom, because I think you're still going to be pissed off about it every Wednesday. You're going to come back up. You know,
I want to be able to watch both. I just want my cake and to eat it too.
Yeah. You know, you talk about some millennials always complaining about stuff, man. You're over here.
Well, that's a reasonable complaint.
Here's the conflict. I was setting the stage. Everybody's got the TV tray out. They're in the living room, right? Mm-hmm. But the difference is I got 10 guys in that room. There's only about 8 of those 10 guys that are really going to – 8 of those 10 guys are going to be all in – 10 out of 10 guys are going to be all in on football. But only 8 out of 10 guys are going to be – they're going to be livid if you switch the channel to golf.
Mm-hmm.
The two guys in the room are going to be all about it. Let's go back and forth. The other 8 guys are going to be living. Why the heck did you change the channel?
Tiger and Phil. It's intriguing. Got to see it.
But that's what you're going to compete against in the living room. I can already tell you why we got golf on.
It's a two TV weekend. Mm. It's the only way it's going to work.
They have the technology now where you can make those things happen. Yeah. So, it may be one of those weekends.
You have to go to Wild Wings or go somewhere and watch this thing.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the only one watching it in that place. But, you still have to find a way to watch it. So
the one TV in the corner that's got golf on.
Exactly.
I need a table over there.
Exactly. So that's your beef, Tommy. I have a quick one real quick, and it won't take time. But it's basing it off of this whole Ohio State Urban Meyer situation, which, we all stated our feelings about that. But that the new story has come out that everyone's talking about and all these outlets are writing about and saying how big of a deal it is that when the investigation came out, it has been reported now that Texas head coach Tom Herman, who was on Ohio State staff and all that, was one of the coaches that accompanied the Buckeyes assistant coach Zach Smith to a strip club while on a recruiting trip. This was in 2014. Am I the only one that doesn't really care about this and doesn't think it's a big deal? And people trying to make mountains out of molehills for a coach going to a strip club? I understand.
Did they get the recruit?
That's going to be the key question
That's what most fans that would be...
It included high school coaches.
Ohio State fans would,
Yeah. Doesn't say anything about recruits.
Did they land the recruit?
Doesn't say anything about the recruits being there,
right.
But the high school coaches were there. Am I the only one that doesn't think this is a big deal at all? I don't know. It's probably an NCAA violation. Who the heck knows?
I don't know that it's an I don't know. But,
But everyone's just trying to attack Tom Herman for this. I don't understand. I'm like, why?
Because there is a certain persona. There's a certain image. There is a certain... public image that you want your head coaches and your assistant coaches to have. And being in an establishment of that nature is probably not the publicity photo you want out there or the conversation you want out there. So is it a big deal? No, it's not a huge deal, but it's not something you'd certainly encourage your coaches to be doing.
No. He spent $600.
Well,
if that means anything.
Very detailed report.
Mm-hmm. And don't worry, it came up from his own money. He did not seek reimbursement from the school, according to the report.
Well, how do you get a receipt for any of that?
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's my problem is, there's a lot of things about this story just reek anyways, but now people are, trying to wrap up and Tom Herman into this whole thing, and I'm just like, we're going to a strip club with some high school coaches. It's not exactly the most moral upstanding thing to do, but as long as it didn't break any rules... I don't have a problem with it, but just, that's the thing about these stories. Everybody in these investigations gets targeted, and anybody that's in it, there's something's going to come out about them.
You certainly wouldn't be encouraging your staff to be doing that.
No.
You're the AD.
No. But is it illegal?
Well, yeah, it's legal.
Illegal, sorry. That's what I meant. Is it illegal?
I don't believe so.
No. According to the report, it's not. And then violating the NCAA violations. But anyways, that was the issue that I took. That's all I'm saying. So,
again, I don't believe these were probably Ohio State fans or Texas fans that were bringing these, wringing their hands and wagging their finger at people. You know, these are fans of Michigan, fans of Notre Dame, fans of their rivals.
Yeah.
That, you know, just want to tear down their rivals.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.